Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dungeon.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, Tanner, along with the lowly bailiff, Jake Hurwitz.
Oh, that's kind of subtle.
Sorry.
And honestly, lowly and slowly, because it took him forever to sync this episode.
Yeah, he really did. True. His microphone was all the way.
Yeah. We agreed we wouldn't talk about it, but it was just so unprofessional that I feel like I got
We swore we wouldn't talk about this call.
I thought all of that was going to be edited out since it was all happening before we recorded.
We promised. We swore on graves of loved ones. We wrapped pinkies around each other and you broke that.
And I forsake all that and I am forever cursed. Yeah. I understand that, but people need to know that Jake was a little unprofessional.
You took a blood oath, man.
I kind of fucked up the intro too. I said a bunch of stuff wrong. I said Jake Hurwitz wrong a little bit. And it's because as we got into it, I was like, I'm not used to doing D&D court after Turtle Tank.
Yeah.
I wasn't like ready. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was improvising. We're all having to say my friend's name.
What would it take to get you ready?
Well, I need another 30 minutes of just like sitting there focusing, looking at my script.
Murph needs to listen to an entire Linkin Park album.
Yeah. I need to listen to the Linkin Park Jay-Z split. All right.
Oh, shit. What was that called?
I think the Gray Album?
No.
No, it's just called the Linkin Park. I think it's just the Linkin Park. God damn it. We have to look this up. What was it called? Linkin Park Jay-Z split. What was it called?
Wait, they shared Encore? An album?
Collision Course EP. The Collision Course EP.
There you go.
Wait, they shared a full album.
There were like six songs.
Yeah, it was a cool
Numb album. / Encore was probably the most well-known.
It was awesome. Police. It absolutely slapped. Okay.
It rocked.
I know what I'm listening to after this.
Yeah.
It did actually roll, yeah.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you can pause it, go listen to the album.
It's a great workout album.
But with that, hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding. And our first case comes from Andrew. Hello, honorable, venerable, and may I say, sexy justices.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
Holy shit. Will allow it.
My word.
I've become so. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Go
become
on.
So nice. I kiss the ground at your benches to glorify you and in hopes that the bailiff slips and falls in a funny way.
Shit.
I present to you the case of the IRL devil. I am a DM. And I have been running a devil-focused campaign with a party of three PCs for about 9 months.
Cool.
One of my NPC villains, who is a devil, offered a deal to the party. The deal was to steal an ancient tablet of primordial magic in order to prevent a massive army of hellfire constructs from destroying a city.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Two of the three party members were adamant that they don't make deals with devils no matter what, and the party moved on. However, after the session, I received a text from the third party member.
Hell yeah.
Wanting to hear more details on this devilish deal.
That's so funny. Not even saying like, I want to take it. It's just like, I'm still open.
I'm curious. She said that she knew she couldn't discuss it with her closed-minded party members and wanted to make the deal without their knowledge.
Wow.
I offered a one-on-one session so that she could roleplay without their presence and to make the treachery of a fellow PC all the more devastating.
Damn. That's kind of cool that you said rather than just like doing it via text, you're like, let's do a one-on-one session, see how it plays meet out. Up.
I sense that the other players are going to be mad in real life.
For sure,
this.
For sure. We can celebrate things along the way.
Yeah, true.
Is this going too far?
Oh,
it hasn't happened yet. Am I tempting not only the character, but also the person to betray their friends? Should I have this backstabbing be played out in front of the rest of the table, even if it means that this PC won't do what's in their character's heart? Have I become an IRL devil in pursuit of being the best NPC devil I could be?
Become so numb.
Okay.
This is a really good question.
Mm-hmm. I think so numb, and yet can I get an encore?
I think this is so person dependent that I feel like I would, if there were a way for you when you're hanging out socially with your other friends to be like, haha, so like, do you guys like PvP? Or like, are you open to it? Or like, just like in general, I'm just asking random
questions. I think it's
not
a super PvP thing. It's more like cursing yourself
or
without
tension,
the...
Yeah. Tension at the table, like tension between characters at
the
table.
I think you're allowed to make a deal with the devil without... you're the permission of other people.
It's technically cool too, because like then these other two players who avoided it are kind of embroiled in it. It's like it's them versus the devil even more.
It's not such like a good
fully
story.
Here
is, so I do think it's cool. Here is, I think, where the problem is you need to build in downtime when this player could have done it. I do think the player needs to give some kind of wink to it. Needs to be like, I'm working on something. I go into the room and I have to sneak out the window, or I'm doing something. I have some business I need to deal with. I know that that's a little like cheeky and might give you away, but I do think there needs to be something. Or you tell the other characters, you say like, I need some time alone. I'm going to go work on this thing.
Ooh,
like, lie to them if that's what you're doing in real life, because your character needs a reason. I would think that was bullshit if I was at the table with everyone and it was just like, the characters all go out drinking at a tavern all night, and then we wake up the next day and we found out that one of them went and made a deal with the devil. Yeah. Like, when the fuck did you do that? True. We were together all night.
You were in the bathroom for a long time.
I like the idea of making the character like kind of be like, you need to reach back out and you need to you know, do your best to hide it.
Yeah.
I would also say another trap you could fall into is getting a little too into this side story and then having multiple one-on-one scenes that then when it's revealed at the table, everyone feels like you guys have been doing this story without them, because we've literally had D&D court submissions that are like, why am I at the table? The two of you just want to play together.
I think
so. I'd keep it to like one short session in which you don't try to expand too much.
I know you see it at, you see it for us, we usually just play it out at the table and we just have the other players just have to kind of play dumb. I know on Critical Role, Mercer will literally go up and whisper to somebody if it's something that the other characters wouldn't hear, or somebody will pass a note or something like that. So I do think that that is a completely like above board way to do it. If instead of running a session, you wanted to do something like that.
I like the idea though of it's like a short little private session and then you kind of put it on the shoulders of the player to be like, you know, you carve out the time in this, I'm going to have downtime. You carve out the time. And then as long as they do it suavely, no one's going to roll like a perception check, but they might if they don't do it suavely.
I'm torn on having a private session, like away from like the standard arrangement of like when your D&D sessions are. I feel like, I think it's okay to keep it in the realm of the informal. Like if you meet up to discuss what you're going to do, like you can do that. You can like go get coffee or a devilishly delicious dinner. but I think it's got to happen.
Macaroni grill.
I think it's got to happen at the table or like at sometime like during when everyone's meeting up. Like you, I do think you could like literally go to another room with a player, but I feel like, I don't know. There needs to be, this is kind of like where the line between like the story and like the players blurs a little bit. But I feel like, you know, you want them to be like clued in that something's happening, because that's just fun to be like, ooh, what's happening behind the screen? Yeah. I don't know. To me, that feels fun.
I see that. And I think, but I think that this is like kind of like a unique case where I would be like, that's cool. Just if you fall in love with it, if you start having other sessions, if you establish too much, like in one-on-one sessions, like it will be alienating to the other people on in the group.
But I agree with you, Emily, that like this specific instance totally calls for something like this clandestine meeting with the devil.
Yeah. It works for me for this.
Yeah, it works for this instance. But I agree that like you don't want to be doing one-on-one sessions all the time for your players to backstab each other.
Yeah.
It does establish a precedent to a degree.
I would say as long as you understand this is a one-time thing and not a precedent.
Yeah. There are a lot of secret D's in D&D, and deals, devils, and dinners are certainly
something. You might even Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, you might even want to just do this at the table and let the other players watch. Not being able to stop it is also its own fun thing.
Yeah.
But that being said, then there is the metagaming aspect of they have to pretend they don't know, which is like kind of a tough place to put players.
What was the deal again? Was it to retrieve an object?
No, it was to stop an army from showing up, I think.
But I thought that what was that they were offering?
They wanted to retrieve this tablet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then that becomes its own subterfuge that they are having to. Right, but I'm saying they're going to be having to do that in plain
sight.
They're
going to have to do it anyway,
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like true. That becomes its own subterfuge.
They will have to fulfill their bargain in front of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess how do you like role play that, cuz you would need to like basically have them leave, go retrieve this tablet on their own and complete this deal. That's
no,
that's
kind of, you, no? I would be like, great, this is a deal now. I'm going to put you guys near the tablet and the other players right. are going to know this is the tablet that the devil wanted us to steal.
Yeah.
And then you give them an opportunity and then they have to figure out how to do it undetected.
Yeah, that's good. It's true. Yeah, kind of like make it happen when everyone's in the room more.
Yeah,
or less.
I picture their like hand going to the mm-hmm. tablet and the other two people being like, what are you doing? And then all this shit coming out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I think to be inclusive, I think you'd be, if someone made a deal with the devil, like even if you guys ran it as a little, just a little scene just to see like what happens there, it would be realistic to me that there would start to be some hints here or there.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you transcribe it, they can't be mad.
Yeah. That's why I think you just need to, if you have an in-universe reason for why you snuck out or mm-hmm. whatever, then I think this could be above board.
Would it be fun or obnoxious, question to you guys, if they recorded this little one-off meeting and that when it came out, then they played it? Would that be fun or would that feel like, why don't you just invite us to play?
Yeah, it might just...
I can't tell because I feel like we've had D&D court cases that mm-hmm. would be...
I think I would encourage this DM to treat it like you're whispering in their ear or like you're passing a note.
I think it'd be cool to play a single snippet, like one line from her.
I think if you could keep it really short so mm-hmm. it was like a little reveal, and also based on your players. Your players might get a kick. I would also read your players' reactions. If look like out of character, they're pissed when it happens, then you're like, okay, I'm not going to play that. But if out of character, they're like, oh, this is kind of a... salacious.
Yeah, you
twist.
Know what you could do too is, I mean, this is something that like a devil would do, is you could introduce a mechanic that would then add some like smoke and mirrors to this to allow the player to do this deceit, is send out notes to all of the other players and say, you're not allowed to show each other the notes. The devil is reaching out to you guys, and like you guys can like respond or something like that. Mm. And that way the players can like, they're not allowed to show each other the notes because that's like the message that they got in their heads, mm-hmm. but they can tell each other what's up. And that will also like seed kind of like distrust between them and stuff like that.
It kind of says like the devil did reach out to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so that, yeah.
Do you like me? Do you want to do a deal with
yeah.
me? Yes or no.
But you can also have them say like different things or whatever, like have their messages be kind of innocuous mm-hmm. and then be actually trying to make a deal with this one person.
So good. But literally the because these people are principled, like, or like their characters are principled, you could be as compelling as you want. You could offer more and they're just going to say no, or potentially two of them say yes. And then you're running a scene with the, you know,
the one standout. Yeah.
I think the more you can set up that you've been concocting this at the table mm-hmm. in front of their faces, the more satisfying the reveal can be.
Mm-hmm.
There will be, I think, a certain level of backlash if you guys just conspire by yourselves.
Yes, but I think if it's like, if something happens and then it's like, as they do this, like, give me a perception check, someone rolls really well, vague scent of brimstone is in the air, right? Or something like, just like little things that start to hint it.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be like, what did you have at Carrabba's? What did you have at Macaroni Grill without us? Did you split an entree or did you each get something? Did you get breadsticks? It's just going to open up a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
And the worms are spaghetti.
But again, I do think that you want, this is such an interesting one that I feel like we've spent so much time on it, but I do think it's really fun.
I'm excited
for you guys.
Right.
I would totally just like do a gut check on the other players mm-hmm. and like, kind of think like, oh, will they like a little tension?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are we also get court cases where people are like, I don't want that at all.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's cool. I think tread carefully. I feel like Murph is right. The other players should have a sniff at it so they're not completely like,
sulfur sniff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's such bullshit if you just find out like that these two people were just meeting and playing sessions without you and you're
again,
just like, wait, when the fuck did you do that?
Yeah, but they should have an opportunity to stop it and then it'll feel earned.
At this point, I've talked myself out of doing the one-on-one session. I think you gotta do this. The just secretly send notes.
Yeah. I want to give Murph the golden gavel for this episode. you know, okay. recurring segment, the Golden
yeah,
Gavel.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Gavel.
That's us.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
us, I think.
I think that the note system is yeah. really the solve here. So yeah, Golden Gavel to Murph this time.
I think I'm straight still, up Critical Role does that.
I'm still open though, if you want to run just this one little scene, then you just record it, because if everyone's
for
excited,
posterity.
It could be like a really fun little thing to reveal. Yeah. And if everyone's not, then you just never play it yeah. for anyone ever.
Add smoke and mirrors for your player to deceive the rest of the teammates. And I wouldn't do too much away from the table.
Yeah. But I also wouldn't be conspiring with the player to make sure that the other players didn't find out. I would be slowly hinting it to the other
sure.
players.
Right. There should be an information leak. So yeah. when yeah. it all is revealed, they could be like, yeah. oh, I should have seen that.
Give
coming.
Them, yeah, yeah. Give them a channel with which to hide what they're doing.
Yeah.
is how I would say this.
I'm excited for you guys.
Or even run, be like the devil reaches out to you guys in your dreams. Yeah. Everyone take turns leaving the room. Mm. That's maybe what you should do.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
that way you're doing
do
private things with everyone, and they're trying to seduce each person.
Yeah.
And then with the one person, you know that they're open to it. So they might, yeah. the other people might just be like, mm-hmm. be gone, devil.
I've prepared an eggplant parm for everyone to enjoy while we have these private meetings.
I think that's the way you do it. Mm. I think you do. I think just, we've done it here at NADPOD. We've yeah. been like, leave the room. This person's talking to this person. And like, mm-hmm. dangled something
it's
in front
always
of you guys.
Cool it's always
it's
fun.
Always rad yeah.
it's gonna be rad. So funny if one of the other people also takes up the devil
yeah in which case cool
totally so is anyone getting punished here
ooh.
Yeah
well, no, it well, happened yet
yeah
I well we gotta punish the DM because I think we figured out how to do this without doing a private session
right
you should
yeah that's
a private
true
session.
Okay
mm-hmm. okay
so this yeah is, yeah a future crime
so we're accusing you of a future crime
mm-hmm.
yeah
and for that we're going to sentence you
should we push him in the milk bath
We're gonna push you in a milk bath and then sentence you to do what we said to do.
run public private
run
sessions.
Public one-on-one sessions.
Yeah, yeah. And also okay. take us to Macaroni Grill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can use some of your milk for the macaroni. All right.
you gotta.
Nasty.
Low-fat milk actually is
nasty.
The best.
Okay. Our next case comes from Emil. Emil writes, to the justices whom it is my honor to address and the bailiff who should be grateful to be addressed at all, I
thank
bring
you
to you the table of X's.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Feed me.
I feel like we've had something like this before, right?
Yeah, we you're have this shit all Pilgrim. The time. Because here's the thing. D&D is a social event. So people fall in love and fall out of love wow. at the table all the time.
It
and it's
romance.
Thrilling.
I DM for three college friends of mine. Two members of the party, the barbarian and the rogue, had an incredibly messy breakup shortly before we graduated 2 years ago.
Ah.
We started playing a year after the breakup when they both approached me and said okay. they would be interested in playing and thought D&D would be a good medium to try and become friends again.
Wow. Oh, mature. No, this is so much pressure on you as the DM. You're not a therapist? Sorry, do they think that you're a therapist?
I agreed for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The game started off well, everyone laughing and feeling like we were back in uni. Things took a turn during the third session when the rogue alluded to keeping a secret from the party. I had approved this beforehand. The barbarian immediately began rolling unprompted insight checks, ugh. Culminating in a shouting match, all in character.
Oh.
The two have been at each other's throats kind of funny, ever though. Since, such cool. as declining to use healing potions on one another, physically throwing each other into obvious traps, and complaining about the other to random NPCs. When I attempted to speak to both of them privately after the first few times this happened, the barbarian angrily told me the rogue is a problem player and that he needs to get it together. The rogue, on the other hand, told me that he has been having a lot of fun role-playing with her, saying that the role-play is so intense it almost feels like she's really mad at me.
Oh, no.
Oh.
He says she's so good that it reminds him of why they started dating.
Oh,
what?
My God! Tragic.
Justices, am I a coward for not wanting to intervene and have the conversation, or is it fine that I'm trying to just troop through it and hope they work out whatever this is organically and in story?
We just need a big sign that says not your job.
Yeah.
None of the aggression has extended to real life as far as I've seen.
Okay.
And the third player said it's fine. But
oh,
we
okay.
keep making eye contact during the minutes long argument, and I feel like maybe it's not. Yeah. For further context, this is the juiciest part. For further context, I introduced them to each other and was somewhat involved in the breakup.
Oh my God.
What does
what
that
are you
mean?
Doing?
Wow.
Okay. You're feasting on this, I think. I think you love the drama.
Here's the thing. This would be so funny to watch for one session. Like, yeah. I would definitely enjoy that one session and be like, probably I'm not going to go back next time.
You know when sitcoms have a D&D episode and it's like clearly like everything that's going on and the D&D episode is mirroring what's happening in real life in the sitcom? Yeah. This is that, but your real fucking life.
Yeah.
I kind of think like, look, first off, you owe no one anything because that's this true. Is above your pay grade. But if you were like, I want to intervene, I feel like I would just be honest with the other one and say like, cool, the barbarian actually is, I think she is actually like not feeling the, I think that there is real life tension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe you guys should actually talk about it rather than you assuming that this is some kind of.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like when me and Jill broke up, like that was Murph's problem because like this is his job. And he had to like, you know, mitigate that because Jake was furious.
Yeah.
But I'm a professional. Right. And I'm really happy for you guys. Because I know you reconciled.
Yeah, we got back together for the good of your baby.
When I first started hearing this, I was like, the barbarian is totally the one at fault because the other person having, the rogue having like a secret or whatever, and then the barbarian just insisting on rolling inside checks and then yelling is the out of pocket behavior. The other person hasn't done anything wrong. But then when they're like, I loved it. It made me like remember why we fell in love in the first place. I'm like, you need to stay away from each other. That is,
is there a version where you're just like, hey, I actually think that you guys aren't on the same page with how you're experiencing this. And I think before we continue, it'd be good for you guys to have an honest conversation and decide if you both want to continue.
Yeah.
It's fair to just be like, check in with the barbarian to make sure that they feel the same way. If they do, great. And if not, you guys can work that out.
You could also try really hard at work and succeed and get more responsibilities and be like, I'm slammed. I'm absolutely slammed at work these days.
Oh, yeah. You might end up getting a promotion, which would be like interesting.
Right. And then like you, I feel like your success will be a reminder to them all, honestly.
Yeah.
Throwing each other into traps is so beyond passive aggressive.
Yes.
They're just getting into actual like role play fights.
I can't help but see the stiff smile of this third player as they wonder how long everything is going to go on.
I've definitely had that happen when you're like a little bit like actually pissed at the table where you're like, can I do an insight check to find out that this person's betraying me or something like that? Yeah. Like when you know someone's lying to you or something and you're like, ugh, my character just has to play dumb for this or whatever. So you're like, trying to roll insight check. I kind of get that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But the barbarian then yelling and everything and insisting is nuts.
Yeah.
But the initial insight check or whatever, you can live with that kind of like passive aggression if people are getting a little bit pissed. But once it gets into like you're fully trying to
traps.
Kill each other by throwing each other into traps, it's
what
like
if you take the messy breakup out of it and you just if you just think of this as two players aren't getting along in character. Maybe a DM would be like, hey, you guys, we're going to try to, I've got to mediate this. We're going to do some kind of like in-game solution where you guys have to work together and learn to trust each other. And you take the relationship out of it.
I would say maybe not an in-game solution because I think there's a conversation between the two of them that needs to be had about what they're hoping to achieve from this because one of them is getting off on the thing that is off-putting to the other.
Yeah, I think you as the DM, again, this is not your job to be a couples therapist. So if you just decide, I don't want to run this, use Caldwell's I've been getting slammed at work excuse. But if you do want to keep playing with them, I do think you would have every right in the world to say, hey, can you two have a talk so that you're not getting into fights at the table and decide if you both want to keep playing together? Because it kind of seems like you don't.
Yeah, no, so you're going to go to your boss and be like, I think that I am ready for a promotion.
I'm ready for a lot of responsibility. Good
work in like the data assessment. And I feel like I'm ready for more responsibilities.
My social life is tanking and I need to distract myself with work.
And actually, are you free on Saturday nights, boss? Because I feel you- You seem like you've got, you're married, you've got a really stable home life.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to play D&D?
Yeah.
All right. So I think, you're going to want to get your boss in on this and just like slowly extract.
Unless Murph is right and you like it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, but which is fair. That's why I'm saying, I keep coming back to that third player who is the fly on the wall. And are they, I'm genuinely so curious if they're like, this is fucking free entertainment, or if they're like, this is not what I signed up for. If they're
and
like,
maybe it is for like a few sessions, but maybe after like session three, four, they're still at each other's throats.
I feel like the interesting drama about this though is hearing about it third hand.
Oh,
being at that table sounds like hell.
Really?
No, there's nothing better than when someone's just like, do I have a story for you? But living through that story is awesome.
Yeah. I don't know that I really want to witness like intense arguments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sometimes if they're not my close friends, if they're just like people, sometimes I just witness weirdos.
You're just going to witness mode.
Yeah.
I feel like, I've got my hackles up and I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck? How do I speak?
Okay, so who are, I mean, obviously I think we just have to sentence the barbarian and the rogue to have a conversation
to freaking hash it out,
right? So, well, you don't think it's the DM's fault at all for inviting it?
This is everyone's fault.
You know what? No, because they were trying to be a nice person. They can't. Like, yes, you could say it was technically your fault for saying yes to a deeply unthrilling proposition, which is we are thinking of.
And what did you have to do with the breakup? You have to tell us.
I think it might have just been good friends with one or both of them and like advised to break up or something like that. I don't think it's like hooking up with one of them. That would be nuts.
We don't know, though.
If that's true, then this is even more your fault.
This is so more, this much is, more gone.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I think we punished literally everyone at the table except the third person, and we ruled in favor of the third person.
Yeah. And then the third person,
or the third player. Yeah.
I guess we never have like the opposite of punishment. We never have rewards.
Right. But we should do witness protection for this player.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's
we gotta
cool.
That could scoop be right. them away from this table and put them at a different table.
Yeah.
Right. Or you could put them at like a water park or somewhere else.
And pretend like they've been there all along.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna take the third player to a water park.
Change your name. And
a milk park because it's Minority Report.
Yeah, okay.
So going back to that. Okay.
A milk slides park, but it's also witness protection.
Okay.
You'll have a security detail for the first 3 months, but after that you
what
are on
we
your
take
own.
So the milk park sounds really bad, right?
Okay.
It sounds like so
Tom Cruise's
and
milk
bad.
Park. This is great.
Okay.
So like there aren't many water parks themed after one movie, and I think that this one really could hit.
But this one is like, I know it sounds gross, right? But we are like nuking that milk every day with Clorox.
Right.
It's chlorinated
Clorox.
Milk. Wait, it's not even. It's not,
it's
even
not chlorine. It's Clorox.
Fucking,
wait,
it's bleach.
Murph, you are a you are a previous pool expert.
Yeah.
In another
chlorine
life.
Is not bleach.
No, no, but this is milk, so we have to raise the stakes.
Bleach it. What's your expert opinion on how can you make the milk safe to swim in?
Dude, there's no fucking way to have it not curdle.
Well, what if you use Clorox?
If you use Clorox, it'll still be so gross. But
we actually have to put up a sign that says, do not drink the
do
milk.
Not drink. Do not. Swimming is not recommended. Do not breathe the fumes.
Yeah, you probably can't even say don't drink the milk because it's mostly Clorox.
Yeah,
you'll know.
Don't drink the liquid.
I don't even think Clorox is white.
It's basically a Clorox water
just
park.
The bottle is white.
Well, we have to do this idea because I came up with a name for it, and that name is Minority Resquirt. So
Minority Resquirt. Okay, so why don't we really do this good. Though? Because this poor third player doesn't deserve this.
Right.
Third player gets taken to
Where
Six Flags.
It out?
Gets and these
a milk
this
water
three
park
this trio this trio with the breakup they go to the water squirt. What was
Minority
it
Resquirt.
Minority Resquirt.
Resquirt.
They go to Minority Resquirt and they can have a terrible day together, and maybe that will help them bond over.
It's true. I think there's no better place to hash out a fight than at a water park.
Yeah.
To walk home across a huge parking lot.
Just tripping over so many running children.
Just choppy waters made of milk.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So squirted. Our next case comes from Nathan W. Nathan writes, may it please the honorable justices of the court as well as the nameless, faceless narrator, I bring to you the case of the stubborn garage ranger.
Oh. Ooh.
During the pandemic, while home from college, a group of my friends from high school decided to try out a first D&D campaign with my buddy's new girlfriend offering to DM.
Cool.
The first few sessions went great. However, things turned sour once we all got to level 3. Our Beastmaster Ranger unlocked the ability to gain an animal companion, and he was very interested in an enemy's wolf. In battle, despite his protests, the wolf ended up dying. As the party started moving forward, the ranger said he wouldn't be going anywhere until he found another wolf. The DM said we were nowhere near any wolves, but maybe if we continued on, he would find one. He protested. and said he was going off on his own to find a wolf. Half jokingly, to try and prod him to follow the party up the road, the DM told him that if he was going off on his own, then he would have to go out to the garage while we continued the part of the session. Justices, he did exactly that.
Oh my God.
Our ranger stood alone in the garage for over an hour while the rest of the party had a great time setting up a concert festival in the next town to make some extra cash.
What?
Then, when it was, quote, his turn, he came back and looked for a wolf to no avail. By the end of the session, the ranger had no wolf, but the rest of us had all leveled up. The DM said, if he rejoined the party, then he could level up too. But instead, he said he was going to stay and, quote, grind monsters, even though we didn't use experience points.
What?
When we realized he really was just going to sit at my kitchen table until he leveled up, the DM awkwardly cooked up a scenario where he could level up, and he exited a full 30 minutes after everyone else had left. Justices, I ask you, was the DM wrong for not just letting the ranger get a wolf? Or should the ranger have trusted that maybe she had something planned for him and followed the party?
You have to cut off contact with the ranger in real life.
I think this person just wanted to play a video game.
Yeah.
Just play a video game. If you want to grind and get an animal companion, there's so many video games you can do that.
Yeah, it's most of them.
This is such psychotic behavior.
Do you think that the ranger thought they were being cool when they were like cooling off in the garage? Was there a fridge in the garage?
Did the ranger think that like someone was going to open the garage door and be, hey, come back in, you can have a wolf, we're sorry?
There is, yes. And I also think there's a certain type of player that maybe isn't as familiar with the game that thinks that the DM is like power hungry or something by trying to build a world and by trying to be like, well, no, only these kind of creatures would be here or something. And there's a type of player that's like, well, you're just making it up, so why can't like you do my idea? You know what I mean?
I feel
that kind of energy coming off of this.
I feel so bad for this fucking DM. She really tried.
Oh yeah, and it's like someone who's in a relationship with the other player.
Yeah.
So it's not like an old friend group of just like
it's a friend's new girlfriend.
My friend was being a dumbass, and so like whatever, we got into it, but now we're cool. It's just like straight up this person running it for their partner and their partner's friends,
and it's totally that. You're like, I don't like your new girlfriend, all right, dude. She's tearing the group apart. She won't let me have a wolf. I had to wait in the garage all night.
It feels like they're trying. It feels like this person just dug their heels in and was like, I'm gonna make my point, but I just have to be like, what's your point, dude? What point? Are you right? What's right and wrong?
Good on her for sticking to her guns here.
She
played it pretty well.
I think so too.
Including, I think it was the right thing to eventually give in to this guy at the end of the night, just because it was going to get really
awkward. Well, I think she didn't even give him a wolf, right? So she just let him level up.
She didn't give him a wolf. She let him level up. She was like, okay.
I think, a good way to just be like, okay, we'll give you something here.
It actually almost sounds like a punishment working on a child. Like, he does eventually sit down and play the game with the DM to level up.
But she wasn't even withholding leveling up from him. She just said, if you want to level up, just rejoin the party. Which is, instead, he was like, no.
This is how you reason with children. This is just absolutely not how an adult should be acting.
Yeah.
It's also like, I mean, there's like built-in stuff. I'm trying to remember. Did the DM say that they like rolled a nature check or something to try and find a wolf and it failed?
I'm guessing they tried.
Yeah.
They didn't say.
It sounds like they were just in a fight and the wolf was like somebody else's.
The DM said there were no wolves near. They weren't near any wolves. I think it was just like the enemy had a wolf.
You're DMing for the first time and you have this really demanding person who thinks like, okay, well, I want a wolf. And then you're like, well, there's not one nearby. And they're like, okay, but there's, I go wherever the wolves are.
Yeah.
It is kind of like, you do kind of want that person to unlearn that level of kind of like story entitlement or something.
Yes. Yeah. I bet session two, they don't go straight to the garage.
Yeah.
I bet they don't do that again.
I hate to give this person the benefit of the doubt. I hate to play devil's advocate for the garage fiend, but it does say that you gain a beast companion that accompanies you on your adventures. Like, rules is written, like, they are entitled to a beast. It doesn't seem like the DM would have to bend over backwards that far to be like, oh yeah, there's another wolf in this woods. Like, you commune with this wolf and then we move on.
That is
like,
true.
I mean, she basically said that. She's like, there's not one right now, but if you continue, you might find one.
That's true, I think she, it sounded like she wanted a story reason for it and wanted it to just not appear at its side.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
She's DMing. She's like constructing the whole entire, she's like, yes, you guys continue. You'll find a wolf soon. This guy wanted it now.
There is a reverse version of this where this player writes to us and is like, hey, what's up? I'm a Beastmaster Ranger. I've said I want an animal companion, specifically a wolf, and I've been playing for 2 months now, and I'm underpowered because the DM won't let me have a pet.
Right, but they had just leveled up, and it started it started with saying he wanted a specific wolf that they were fighting, right?
Yes.
So it might have been like, oh, okay, what kind of like animal companion do you want? And he's like, I want that one that we're fighting.
Yeah.
So, and then the fight played out. So it could have been like, they could have made the decision to not immediately get it anyways. Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think about something, anything in my life that would make me go to the garage for an hour.
Yeah. And then come back after and 10 minutes, you know, everyone. No one's
right.
Coming.
If I get to go to the garage by myself for an hour, I am so mentally healed at that point in time. Yeah. Like all of my problems have melted away because I got to spend an hour by myself in the garage and nobody needed anything from me.
Yeah.
I cannot understand taking that time and not coming back just like fully ready to participate.
Caldwell just got back from family vacation. Yeah. With two children.
Is it a parent?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think I would enjoy my time in the garage that much.
I have a question. Let's say you're in the moment. You're like, for some reason, your blood sugars off. You are making all the wrong decisions, and
there's a global pandemic.
And there's a global pandemic, and you go to the garage, and then you immediately cool down, and you're like, "What have I done?"
Yes.
Yeah. How do you rejoin
that
the group?
That is much more relatable.
How do you rejoin the group?
If there's a garage fridge, if there's a garage fridge, you come back in with drinks.
Yeah,
that's so cool. Like, I was just kidding. I went to get a Dr. Pepper.
I got you all seltzer.
See, that is much more just like, okay, you're 20 years old and don't know how to regulate your emotions. So you got really upset and you're like, fine, I will go in the garage. And then you go in and then you sneak back 10 minutes later and you're like, oh, just fucking around.
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
That is more related. That is much more relatable to me than they sat there for an hour.
They sat there for an hour, but then even came back and refused to rejoin.
Yeah,
that's right. Because
they probably
okay,
cooled down, and then the more time passed, they were getting actually angry.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I bet it was like a bell curve,
a 30-minute point where they're like, "If they call me back in, I'm not mad anymore."
I guess there was
might have been a punching bag in there.
Like, why aren't they coming for me?
So I'm guessing this person did not have a moment of introspection or take any accountability. I'm guessing they went into the garage, it just got madder and madder and madder. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in how someone who walked into the garage and said, whoa, I was stupid, would then reintegrate.
You know what's even more nuts? And I kind of get this vibe from this case is that it sounds like the ranger wasn't even that mad, was just like completely insistent and went to the garage just like, okay, you want me to go to garage? Fine.
No,
and
went and sat in the garage. It definitely sounded like they were mad. Mm-hmm. Not rejoining the group, being like, yeah, you can level up if you just rejoin the group.
I know, but isn't it even more unsettling to just be like, no, I'm fine.
I think
I'll grind.
I get a real debate guy mindset.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering.
I think it's someone who's trying to be right. They're trying to prove some kind of point, but I think that they just need to not be the wrong one in the equation, and they kind of are.
Yeah, that's
true. What if there was a classic arcade cabinet in the garage and they just secretly really wanted
and they just had an awesome time.
And then after playing the arcade game, they were like, I just want to keep
grinding.
They just
wanted to play Donkey Kong.
This guy's just trying to haze his buddy's new girlfriend and it backfired.
Yeah, that's what I also keep coming back is like the sort of like DM outside of the friend group having to then like work with this.
Not being on like your best behavior with like a new friend is so fucking weird to me.
Yeah.
Outside of like my again,
that's that is like high school again, too.
This does absolutely suck kind of no matter how this goes down. But I think it's especially bad to be like, here's a new DM that is like just getting into the friend group
and you're doing us a favor
and you're a complete fucking jerk. It's so much different than like you could see friends being like, come on, dude, let me have a wolf. What the fuck won't you let me have a wolf? And it just like gets out of hand.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I don't know, the DM has like gifted you a story motivation.
Yeah.
Being like, yes, you will find a wolf. Like you saw this person who bonded with their wolf in battle and now you're inspired to find your own companion. It's not that hard.
And do you really want a wolf that's gonna switch sides mid battle? Come on now. That's not a dedicated wolf.
Do you guys think they snooped in the garage?
Snoop
absolutely
just like listening,
opened a moving box
around.
Yeah.
What do you think's in
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
I'm like trying to think of the most incriminating thing you can find in someone's garage.
Oh, like old family photos, but like in one of them, it's revealed that like the dad is cheating on the mom.
Oh, yeah.
In the old family photos. Wait a second. That's not his mom.
Wait a second. The whole family took family photos with another woman
Wait a
one
minute.
Year.
That dad is kissing the Chuck E. Cheese mouth.
Mrs. Matt comes into play.
Holy I thought shit. It was just an innocent day at the ballpark.
Shit. He is cupping Mrs.
That's
Mrs.
A great prank to play on your kids. It's just put in amongst old family photos, but
oh
in a picture
God.
Of you kissing Chuck E. Cheese in like a grainy Polaroid.
It has to look yeah. like it has to look like not like a sweet little like yeah. kiss on the cheek no, or even like, a sweet little peck. It needs right. to look romantic. And,
yeah.
Needs,
and, yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese's Carnal. Tail is like grabbing your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep on talking about your ex and then plant a photo album for them to find.
Yeah. So maybe that's what was going on with the Ranger. Because they found this photo and they didn't know how to confront the person about it.
Yeah. Maybe they found it. They found incriminating.
It's just like make people think that you have a fetish for like mascots or something like that. It's just like all pictures of you making out with different mascots. They find it in a shoebox.
That would justify an hour in the garage.
Uncovering
this mystery.
The family lore would be so much better than
I think.
Holy shit.
I think that
it's
is
a
what
conspiracy.
You. I think that is what you'd go for, right? You would go into the garage and like, you're like, I want to snoop. What do I do?
Yeah.
Kind of like an old shoebox.
It has right. years on it marked when like, you know that the family was together.
Oh.
It'd yeah. be like 2003. And then it's just them making out with Chuck E. Cheese.
And you find a love letter from Chuck E. Cheese
oh,
that
yeah.
says, we stick together like mozzarella.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's an animatronic. In the garage that looks gently used, if
wow.
you know what I mean.
This is yeah. what Five Nights at Freddy's is missing. Is the ability to have sex with the animatronic. I don't, there's a lot of those games. You might have
yeah,
to
you
the
for sure can.
All
right. And with that, what were we talking
we
gotta
about? We got to punish this ranger.
We absolutely have to punish this ranger.
Guess it's going to be the ranger, right?
The ranger.
I feel like I need that ranger to go into a garage, recreate this experience, but instead... look inwards rather oh, than directing yeah. their hate outwards.
No phone, just go into a garage and think about what you've done.
And yeah, and think yeah. about like actually what can you control and like, you know, like
take Polaroids of yourself, write on it, 2025, being a fucking loser by myself. Begged for a wolf, didn't
Dude,
get it.
You've got no wolves, you've got no maidens, you've got no mascots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
cool. And actually not a Polaroid, it's just it's like an old film camera. And then yeah. when you get the film developed,
oh.
you see your friend's dad canoodling with Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, in the background yeah. of the garage.
That's
yeah.
Really
yeah.
And then it's kind of okay. like, were those ghosts?
Fuck, that's really good immersive storytelling. It's really
Holy
strong.
Shit, my friend's dad was widowed by Chuck E. Cheese.
Five sexy nights at Freddy's. We're on to something here, guys.
It's just Chuck E. Cheese in your parents' bed.
What Maybe the fuck is this?
I don't even know if this company is still around. Five Nights at Frederick's of Hollywood.
Oh,
that
wow.
would be
Frederick's
sexy.
Of Hollywood? That is a
I
mall
bet it doesn't
deep
exist.
Cut.
Yeah, back
Frederick's
when
of Hollywood
there were
definitely.
Malls.
Frederick's Where's, of Hollywood was a
was
competitor
like,
to Victoria's Secret.
Oh, wow.
That I think what? Was only sexy lingerie.
I think it was sexier.
It was
Victoria's
so
Secret.
Sexy.
Wow.
Less function, more
lace.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, when did things come out? Frederick's of Hollywood.
I've never even heard of it.
Really? They didn't have one in your mall?
They didn't have one in your mall?
No. And I spent a lot of time.
You would have remembered too because it was a more
I was a
erotic vibe.
So I remember averting my eyes from the Victoria's Secret, but not seeing a Frederick's of Hollywood.
You didn't have one either?
No.
Whoa.
Wow.
This must I guess I'll guess 1994.
Oh, this seems earlier to me. I'm going to go, you know, it's always safe to go birth year, 86.
I'm going to say... people were maybe, I'm going to say 70s. I think it's post-sexual revolution.
Whoa.
It might have sparked the sexual revolution because it's in 1947.
What?
Holy shit. Because I think the original brick and mortar store it was in Hollywood and Whoa. It only made it out to malls on the East Coast, I guess, in the 90s. Oh, I think
okay.
it's freaking so technically
wow.
still around.
Holy
Man,
wow, Frederick's crap. Of Hollywood. Shout
Thanks
out
to Frederick's.
Shout out
Let
to the
ladies show their gam.
The original sexy mall store. that you walk by and blush.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, ma'am.
Okay, let's do one more case. Our next case comes from Anthony. Anthony writes, to the impeccable justices and the peccable bailiff Jake.
That could be like a compliment, though.
Yeah.
Like you deserve a peck.
But birds that's, do try to steal his croissants.
You deserve a peck from a Fredericks only of Hollywood peck. Model.
Wow.
Well, like a peck, but I'm asking for a French. That's also insulting. I bring to you the case of real time versus game time. Our party was performing a heist in a powerful wizard's tower, powerful enough to TPK us if a fight broke out.
Uh-oh.
Yowza.
The DM had narrated that we could hear the wizard return as we were making our escape and had all of us roll initiative to track our movements as we tried to escape before being caught.
Cool.
To add suspense, I guess, the DM set a real-life timer for 1 minute and told us to go. The first player up spent the whole minute asking questions and making jokes, and the DM declared we were caught.
Aww.
Justices, I have been thinking about this for years now because my character was built to be fast.
Aww.
A tabaxi ranger rogue playfully referred to as the speed kitty. But because it was turn-based with a real-life timer, I never got my turn. I could have left the tower in a single turn if I was given the chance. Mm-hmm. Instead, we had to fight, and we barely managed to escape without anyone dying. I understand using real-life timer, but not when we're also in initiative, because each round is 6 seconds, and it takes way more than 6 real seconds to take your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate the prompt of the minute, but everyone should have taken it seriously. I kind of blame the most the person who fucked around and wasted the minute.
I think fucking around and wasting the minute sucks, but I do think that's just, it's just not how the game works to use real time, because the reason you do initiative is you're just establishing what everyone is doing at like near the exact same time.
Uh-huh.
This character is not standing still while this person is asking questions.
I think the timer is, it's cool to use it once. You could use it for each player's
turn. Each person's turn. Yeah, that's so it's what like, I was
you get to make quick decisions.
You get a minute. Yeah. You get a minute. Mm-hmm.
Because there is something about a timer that does kind of like put a fire under your ass and like will make you behave in different ways, which is kind of a fun prompt.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone should have got a minute.
Yeah, the DM could have, because you're like, well, what do you do with your time during this minute?
Yeah,
and if this person wants to fuck around, you could just be like, you panic and you stand still.
You got caught.
And you did nothing. So you stay there. Somebody might have to carry you or you're going to get caught by yourself.
So I think it's actually open and shut. It's the DM is at fault because they should have given everyone a minute.
If this were a Turtle Tank pitch, I think I would be like, one time timer
sounds
comes
fun.
Out. If you've got a cool stopwatch and you're in a referee costume.
Yeah.
Incredible. I love it.
Tweaking it to be like you each get a minute to describe what you're doing, I think is fun. Because I think like normally you get like 6 seconds in a round of combat and that's not great. I feel like maybe with some tweaks it could work. But yeah, I feel like obviously this one player is more at fault, but I don't love it.
No,
trying to hash out what everyone does at the same time is like why you roll initiative and why the game is the way it is. I would probably never use a timer or anything. And if you did want to use it, it is just to get people to stop metagaming and to just say what you do because your character would be shocked and they would have to act quickly. So if you really wanted to add this timer thing, I agree with them. You got to give everyone a minute or even 30 seconds or something like that just to be like, make a decision, make it right now. You have to run.
I think he's still giving it. I think a minute feels like the right amount of pressure without feeling too fumbly.
And also a minute is like the length of time you get in Pictionary, I believe. So you could use the little Pictionary hourglass.
Yeah, having a little hourglass.
Incredible. Hourglass is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like the hourglass.
I'm back on board with the hourglass, honestly. Yeah. How many
guys? You guys love your little props.
An hourglass, a card, a DVD.
Now I'm ready to play.
So it sounds like we're sentencing this DM because they were close, but it wasn't perfect.
We can get rid of the first person in initiative as well.
But I think you're right.
The spirit of D&D to goof around.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think
things
that
gets serious.
I think it's still the DM. I think that player like should have like you know gotten caught.
Well, they knew
personally.
They were fucking it for everybody, so that is kind of messed up.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would say even if you like Trinivale, we obviously fuck around, but I definitely would have just been like, you know, you can be funny by being like, oh, Jens panics and just takes off and leaves Nyack.
That's
the joke. It's like, and that took me 5 seconds to say
yes.
And
I feel like as long as like the consequences are clear and they accept them, then that's okay. But the whole thing feels a little messy to me.
They have to go to Minority Squirrel.
The Clorox milk.
With Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Why don't we also have Minority Resort, which also is on the Minority Report complex? We're sort of building out a Disney World for the Minority Report movie.
Got it. This is, so there could be like a good milk bath there, like a, you know, sort of like a.
They're all good milk.
Oh, baths. Like a milk bath, a milk bath with like a little boba bubbles in it.
Yes.
Oh, and that you can drink that one. There's no Clorox in that.
But
bath.
Wouldn't it be kind of fun to be squishing around in little boba bubbles?
Yeah, but if you squish them, then they pop and you can't eat them.
Do they pop? I thought they were like little gelatinous balls.
I guess they pop. I mean, maybe they wouldn't pop because they're like pretty squishy. So you just like squish past them.
I think they're pretty squishy, dude.
They're pretty squishy.
I just think it'd be fun.
It would be fun for sure. Okay. Yeah. A really long straw.
So anyway, this idea is freaking awful. Just go to Minority Resquirt and
have a nice time.
You have to be a lifeguard. You have to, the DM has to be a lifeguard there.
Yeah.
And okay. Let's face it, okay. There's a lot of chemical.
That's
accidents.
Gonna be yeah.
There are a lot of issues there because of the Clorox milk.
With the, all the Clorox.
You're gonna have
bleach.
To wear basically a hazmat suit. Mm.
Yeah,
bikini.
You're gonna have to wear a mask. Yeah.
But you do get a really long straw you can use to sip the boba balls from the fountain.
Okay, so squirted. And now it is time to step into church with a confession from one Miles M.
I picture Chuck E. Cheese in lingerie and I need to go to church now.
I have to confess that.
Just Chuck E. Cheese in Fredericks of Hollywood lingerie in your parents' bed.
Just lying on the skee ball table.
So fucking tempting.
It just says 1998 on it.
You remember that game Gone Home where you're like going around your parents' house? It's just like that, but Chuck E. Cheese is there.
But Chuck E. Cheese is there.
Yeah.
The deep family lore.
Just I'm just picturing like a drawer sliding open and you see that picture, just the sound effect.
Charles stops by for some fun and quotations.
Charles.
1998.
Charles E. Cheese. Miles writes, earthly representatives of Dice Christ on high. I bring you, Minority Report style, I bring you a pre-confession.
Whoa. Whoa, future crime. Don't do it then.
I want to hear. I want to hear.
You can't report yourself for future crime.
I want to hear.
This is open and shut.
No, I recently took part in my first fully online campaign.
Okay.
We rolled using D&D Beyond or other dice simulators and self-reported the results.
Ah.
I am proud to say I remained true and shared all of my rules accurately. And yet, fathers, mother, and Jake, though it shames me to admit it, the dice devil did tempt me to do otherwise. Having rolled a chaste 5, I would fain content myself with it. Yet from the nether regions of that damned octahedron would beckon the voluptuous curves of an 8, whispering untold storytelling pleasures.
From a 5 to an 8?
The sexiest number.
No, that's a realistic.
It's an hourglass.
That's a realistic lie.
An 8 could wear Fredericks of Hollywood.
Oh my God. An 8 would be so hot in Fredericks of Hollywood.
That 8 is an absolute 10. Should I but lay down my dry virtue?
Yeah.
Guileful 9 would vie for place rightly earned by 6, damn. While lusty 12 mocked my steadfast 10. In my depravity, I did e'en ogle a lowly 7 when Dice Christ had seen fit to bestow a 17, tickled by the mere thought of thwarting his holy will.
Whoa.
I ask you, lords, is there anything funny about sin? Absolute ones, paragons of celibacy. I am as a Caldwell before an unflipped full house box set. How have you maintained your purity when the siren's song of fudged rolls calls so sweetly? How may I uphold my dice virginity in a world beset by intemperance?
I actually have a suggestion for you. I think it's possible that you would respect the numbers more if you did a real dice in your hand rather than doing roll. Because I always roll my D20s in real life, and then sometimes I'll use like the iPad for like, you know, rolling damage, right? Maybe because it's just a dice roller app or a dice roller on the computer, you just don't have as much respect for it.
That's true. I feel that's fair.
Yeah, I feel though like it has inspired this creative writing.
I know.
And this lust for higher numbers that I do think you're enjoying the gambling aspect of it. And I think we are all tempted when we roll low that there is a moment where you're just like, should I say it's higher? Should I say I succeed? And that's what it makes it fun to when you're honest and actually suffer the consequences. But there is always a moment where you're like, damn, it would have been cool if I did something cool.
You're kind of like experiencing the erotic submission to the dice.
I think the fact that you held out, you didn't cheat. And like, you feel more fulfilled not cheating once you have like resisted the urge.
And you're edging yourself to the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think if you had the dice in your hand, if you bought a proper D20 and rolled it, then I think that the temptation isn't going to be there as much because you're going to be like, I love you. You're tangible. Yeah,
maybe you need to get your partner or a trusted friend in the room just so that you like do not give in to that temptation. Like, I think maybe we need to dispatch Dice Christ clergymen to various people who are playing online.
We should be doing that.
Yeah.
So that like you can just have like a safe chaperone making sure that you don't cheat. And then eventually you'll get comfortable doing that on your own. But I think like it could maybe be like a guiding hand there.
Sure.
I do agree with Murph that it really inspired some beautiful poetry.
Truly.
I feel like when you like read any of like the Sufi poets who are, they like spoke in code about how much they loved God by speaking about wine. So there's like this like erotic impulse and it makes for beautiful art. So there's something to consider. There's a potential energy. There's a yearning that if you are to satiate it, then you will be missing out on that.
There will
that.
Be no more yearning.
Yeah.
Channel that yearning.
Yeah.
Enjoy the yearning.
You're so yearnful. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to stop yearning?
Yeah. Right. Enjoy the yearn.
You got to yearn to earn.
Earn the yearn.
Earn the yearn. Feel the burn of the earned yearn.
Yeah.
Or you'll end up in an urn.
Yeah. Okay. So Forgiven, all you need to do is put a Polaroid of Chuck E. Cheese in your
garage.
Shoebox.
In a shoebox. Ideally, it's the only thing in that shoebox.
Oh, and a ring.
The back of the Polaroid says before the incident.
And maybe just like a Lacey Fredericks of Hollywood thong.
That smells like cheddar cheese.
There's a
And on the back of the Polaroid, you have to write Charles 98.
Yeah. Yeah. Some pizza stains on the lace.
Just planting insane family lore in the garage.
That's awesome. That should be the new interior design. Making things look nice. Tell untrue stories.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be salacious. You could just put a ghost in the background of a picture too.
That's true too.
Oh, good God. All right. So Forgiven.
So Forgiven.
With that, thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week. We'll be back to Trinity Vale Extra.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. Whee! In the meantime, Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, gladly. Everybody get ready to roll those Chuck E. Cheese 1998 dice.
Rolling with the Chuck E. Cheese 1998 dice.
Wait, but they were together then.